From WYPR in Baltimore, I'm Tom Hall. This is Choral Arts Classics. Tonight on Choral Arts Classics, our annual Conductor's Roundtable, with three of my choral colleagues who concentrate their considerable skill and energy on the training and cultivation of young choral artists. Each of them conducts acclaimed children's choruses here in Baltimore, and each organization is known for its pedagogy and impressive performance pedigree. Doreen Falby is the founder and music director of the Peabody Children's Chorus. Stephen Holmes leads the Maryland Boy Choir, and Susan Bialek is the guiding force behind the Children's Chorus of Maryland. They'll join me in the studio in just a little bit. Hello again, and thanks for joining us for Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall, the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and the host of Maryland Morning here on 88.1 WYPR. So glad that you could be with us tonight, as we have done for the past 13 years. On the last Tuesday night of the month, from September through the spring, we get together and we listen to and talk about great choral and vocal music, and we sample recordings and live performances of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and our special guests. As I said, we usually come to you on the last Tuesday night of the month. Last week, that night coincided with the primary election, so we are with you 1 week later, and I appreciate your tuning in and joining us. Susan Bialek, Stephen Holmes, and Doreen Falby will join me in just a few minutes. We'll talk to them about their work and hear some recordings of their very fine children's choruses. But first, let's start with some music sung by the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Choral Arts has been celebrating its 50th anniversary this season, and in honor of that milestone, we've commissioned and premiered several new pieces over the last several months. Here's a recording of the premiere of a terrific new motet by James Lee III, an internationally acclaimed composer who serves on the faculty of Morgan State University. We commissioned James to write a setting of the word Alleluia, and we performed it in March on a concert that also included Alleluia settings by Randall Thompson and Johann Sebastian Bach. So James chose the Hebrew spelling of the word Hallelujah, and in this a cappella setting, he interpolates around that central term various Hebrew phrases that describe God. This live performance featured the Choral Arts full chorus. Here is James Lee III's Hallelujah in celebration of the 50th anniversary of Baltimore Choral Arts on Choral Arts Classics. music of James Lee III from the faculty of Morgan State University. His new piece, Hallelujah, commissioned by me and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society to celebrate our 50th anniversary season, which is concluding this month when we appear with the Baltimore Symphony for two sets of concerts. On 88.1 WYPR, you're listening to Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall. I conducted this live performance on March 20th of this year. Now it's my great pleasure to welcome to the program three colleagues who are doing great work with young people in three outstanding children's choruses. Doreen Falby is the conductor of the Peabody Children's Chorus. They have groups in both Baltimore and Howard County. Susan Bialek leads the Children's Chorus of Maryland, which is based in Towson. And Stephen Holmes is the music director of the Maryland State Boy Choir, which is based in their Performing Arts Center in Northeast Baltimore. Welcome to you both, or to all three of you, rather, more than both. I'm surrounded by choral conductors here. Good evening. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Thanks so
nice
much.
To be here.
Good to be here.
So, Susan, let's start with you and find out a little bit about the Children's Chorus of Maryland. You're a relative newcomer to that gig. You took over a couple years ago, I guess.
Just 2 years. I'm in the end of my second year.
Uh-huh. And so tell us a bit how that was founded. You certainly are familiar with its wonderful founder, our good friend Betty Berteau.
Yes. She founded the organization in 1976 and was with it for many, many years. And she hired me. She interviewed me and she hired me. And I had the very good fortune to meet with her a couple of times, although not as many as I wish I could have before her passing in the fall of 2014.
Yeah. So tell us how the Children's Chorus of Maryland is structured. How many groups do you have? How many kids?
We have three choirs, a beginning, an intermediate, and advanced, if you will. And in each choir, there are three levels of musicianship class that go with that. We currently are at about 90 children. And looking so far at about 105 for next year, and hopefully that'll continue to rise.
So it's growing,
Our auditions that are coming up soon.
And what's involved in a musicianship class?
Betty founded those musicianship classes very deeply steeped in the Kodály method, and also her own method, and a little bit of Edwin Gordon. So they are very, especially with the youngest children, very play-based. Lots of fun. You look in and there's a lot of giggling and there's a lot of circle games and singing games. And then as they progress through, they're also learning to read music, they're learning to write, they're learning a little bit of theory. And by the time you look in on level 9, they're composing and analyzing.
Yeah. And so the Kodály method, for folks who don't follow choral music real closely, Zoltán Kodály, a great composer who came up with this way of this method of teaching music. What's the premise of it?
The premise is that children learn music the way they learn language. So they become, they're read to, they're spoken to, and they begin to talk. And so the same premise holds true for the way music sort of unfolds out of them. And in Kodály's culture in Hungary, he chose intervals that were most often found in the folk songs of that culture to begin with. So we use much of that, but sometimes we throw in some intervals that appear more in American folk songs to make it more real for our students and kind of combine the two.
Yeah, I've always thought it's a great way of doing it because these are intervals and tunes and melodies that they already know.
They already know.
They don't know they know them, but they already know them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then if you just simply say, okay, well, now there's a thing you know, and now we're going to put a name to it. You know, this interval is a minor third or a perfect fit.
Right.
But it starts, they start knowing it, and then
it's
you just
all in
show
their ear already.
Yeah, that's great. And Stephen Holmes, you are an alum of the choir that you are now leading as the artistic director.
That's right.
Tell us when you started back in the day with the Maryland
started
State Boy Choir.
Started in 1989 in my 27th season with the organization. It was in its infancy, so I've had a chance to see it grow from a small fledgling organization to a thriving group. We have about 140 to 150 boys each season. And one of the interesting things is our boys sing through their voice change. So a boy might start at age 6, and he might still be singing with us up through his collegiate years, 21. So they might have a long trajectory.
Now, while the Children's Chorus of Maryland and the Peabody Children's Chorus have both boys and girls, you concentrate solely on boys. And you yourself were a boy singer in this choir when you were a little kid.
That's right. And certainly there's a place, one of the wonderful things about Baltimore and other communities is we have a place for all these different groups and that we all have a bit of a niche, I think, amongst the three of us. But for us, we found that boys are very marginalized in singing. More often than not, children's choruses are predominantly female. And by having a boy outlet, there's an opportunity for them to look around and see a bunch of other guys, sometimes kids come in cleats and lacrosse uniforms and you name it, but they love singing too. And we really have tried to make it so that boys can look around and realize this is just as much a guy's activity as playing soccer after school.
Yeah, and you do have kids who stay with you after their voices change and they become, you know, men's voices instead of boys' voices. Is that a common thing? Do a lot of guys hang around as they get older?
We have about an 85 to 90% retention rate. So most of the boys who join stay for quite a long time through high school. Some who are local at Peabody or Towson or whatever the case also sing in their collegiate years. And we kind of model the English model where the SATB is covered by the older gentlemen, sometimes alto tenor bass by boys 15 and older, and then the treble by the younger unchanged voices.
And for folks who either never had boys as children or haven't paid attention in a long time, when does a boy's voice normally change? About how old?
A little bit of a loaded question because it really depends. I was about 6'5 and 16 years old, still singing soprano when my voice finally changed. I looked like a linebacker, but would be singing, you know, P.A. Jesu by Fauré. We see it between basically 10 and 16 still, although many are saying with hormones and food and such, it's a lot sooner. One of the things that happens is just because a boy starts to get low notes doesn't mean that he doesn't have high notes still. And they're not necessarily even falsetto. He just is getting an extension of his range. And so we encourage them to learn to sing in their new voice, but also then to continue in their growing range, if you will.
And does it happen gradually or does it happen, you know, overnight? All of a sudden, boom,
yes.
You wake up and you're a baritone.
Yes, yeah, both.
Right.
I've had boys who come in the next morning and they are speaking about two octaves lower than I am. And the night before we're singing a boy treble. And then sometimes it's very gradual. In my case, and for many of the boys, I think because they're singing all the time, it's more gradual. They gain a note. What happens actually is the middle drops first most often, and they might have brilliant high notes, but right around middle C and a couple notes above and below, they kind of start to struggle.
Interesting. So. And, of course, you've got to keep an eagle ear out for all
exactly.
That
you might be an alto 1 week and a bass the next.
Yeah, right. You've got to change the disposition of the
you
forces, right? And Doreen Falby, you have two campuses of the Peabody Children's Chorus. You rehearse sometimes in Howard County and sometimes in Baltimore, actually out in Towson. Why two places?
Well,
is there such demand out there in Columbia and in Towson?
Yeah, we have a very big campus in Columbia. I actually live in Columbia, Maryland, so I started a group there for my stepson, actually. He wanted to sing in a boy choir, and so I started a group there in 1990 for him, and it did really well, and then I took over the Peabody Children's Chorus. So it opened a campus in Towson, and then they kind of joined together to become the Peabody Children's Chorus.
I think that's great. You know, what a great reason to start a chorus is because your stepson wants to sing.
He did.
Yeah, let's just gin up our own chorus. And you have a big, big cadre of children. How many kids are between the two campuses? How many kids are involved?
We have three levels of training at both campuses. I think 385 singers in those six groups.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And ages 6 through 18.
Yeah, and you do concerts, you do tours. I mean, all these groups do tours. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but they're very busy, aren't they?
Yeah, we do 8 local concerts a year featuring all of the groups. We do those at the Peabody Institute, and then out in Columbia, we do them at the Jim Rouse Theater.
Yeah. That's great. Well, let's listen to a little bit of the Peabody Children's Chorus. This is music of Ola Yelo, his Ubi Caritas. Ubi Caritas et Amor Deus Ibi Est, where charity and love are, God is. This is the Peabody Children's Chorus. Doreen Falby, the music director. Music of Ola Yelo here on Choral Arts Classics.
Ubi caritas et amor Deus.
music of Ola Yelo. That was his setting of the Latin chant Ubi Caritas, where charity and love are, God is. The Peabody Children's Chorus was conducted in this live performance by one of my guests this evening, Doreen Falby, who founded the organization in its current form back in 1990. It's Choral Arts Classics here on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall, joined in the studio by Doreen Falby, Susan Bielek of the Children's Chorus of Maryland, and Stephen Holmes, the Artistic Director of the Maryland State Boar Choir, for this Conductor's Roundtable on Choral Music and Children. That was beautiful, Doreen. They sound great.
Thank you.
It's terrific. And of course, we've had the great fortune of working together. And Stephen, you sang with the Choral Arts for a little while, and we have a long history of with Choral Arts Society of working with the Children's Chorus of Maryland. It's a lot of fun. Susan, what's your approach? We talked about the Kodai method of teaching intervals and teaching musicianship, but what's your sort of philosophy about how children learn music and the way that you incorporate music into their lives?
One thing I can tell you I've learned from teaching music in school settings for over 20 years is that not all children learn their musical skills the same way. So I take a little bit from each philosophy I've studied, and I try to make sure that I reach different children different ways. Some learn rhythmically. Some learn through tonality and pitch first. Some of the choral music we do speaks to children through text first. And even though I do follow Betty Bertot's methodology, and we follow the method of presenting the music, that they read it first, they decode and decipher at the older levels, I don't ever stick only to one method for that reason, because I want all of those children on board with me. And I've grown also to respect that just because they don't learn it in a certain sequence doesn't mean it's being learned less well. They're just coming in up the mountain on a different side, mm-hmm. and try to meet them there.
And you have an age range that's fairly broad, too.
Yes, yes.
So what's your youngest? What's your oldest?
In the treble choir, the youngest are 5 and a half, which means they do not read anything yet. And some of them are quick to tell me, I don't read, right? And I say, right, you don't read yet.
Words, music, nothing.
Words, music, nothing.
Right.
So it's they do read hand signs. They do read the English Kerwin hand signs. So that's their introduction to reading music off the staff, and they can sing a tune.
The hand signs are signs that you give them, and they associate a particular note with those
a particular
signs.
Solfege syllable, right? Yeah. So they are actually learning to read, if you will, from the hand first. So mm-hmm. it's kinesthetic as well as visual, and there's an aural piece that goes with it. So with those kids, I can't rely on the reading. And you have to make a lot more game-like activities and or sing something for them. Is this the same or different? Is this higher than this or lower than this? It's a lot more. My rehearsals are peppered with questions at all levels.
Mm-hmm. And so, what's the oldest?
In the concert choir, the oldest children are 16, 17.
Yeah, so that's a big range, 11, yeah. 12 years there. Yeah, that's a lot. And Doreen Falby, you and I have worked together with the Baltimore Symphony. We've worked together in the choral arts concerts and stuff. And you learned some very difficult music. I mean, we did a piece by John Adams a couple of seasons ago, on the Transmigration of Souls. Mm-hmm. Very challenging, not only for your chorus, but for mine, professional adults. How do you go about teaching kids music that's that complex and that complicated?
I find that even the kids in our older groups, some of them, there's a wide range of knowledge there. Some children have been with us for many years, so they are pretty good at sight singing, or maybe they play piano or violin, so they're good music readers. But some kids come in with very little music reading ability. So it's just kind of just what Susan said. You have to find different ways to come at it. Sometimes I have my really advanced kids take sectionals with some kids who aren't quite so fast at sight singing.
Mm-hmm. And a sectional would be where instead of having the sopranos and the altos all together, you divide them up.
Right,
so just your part go by itself, mm-hmm. and your part go mm-hmm. off to another place by itself.
Yep, and also just really break it down for them. And lots of listening, we use recordings. So, just come at it in whatever way works.
And again, what's the age range at the Peabody Children's Chorus?
Well, we start at 6-year-olds, and then we go all the way to 18-year-olds. So it was the teenage group that was working with you at the Symphony Orchestra.
Right, right, because they can do obviously a little more complicated yeah. stuff than the little
right.
ones. Yeah, but to have them, there are lots of times where you have them all in the same room at the same time, right? I mean, are they sort of divided up by age group in the normal rehearsals, or do you ever have a group where everybody's singing something all at the same time? Don't you finish all of your concerts with a big throng song with everybody?
Right, we do. The only time we all come together is at the dress rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we
pretty
rehearse separately.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And each group is, you know, I guess the teaching style for each group is very different. So with the younger ones, we're very playful, lots of games and songs and poems and ostinatos. And then as they get, you know, more sophisticated, then we do a lot more sight reading, languages. We do the international phonetic alphabet. Lots of good training for them to be informed musicians.
And it seems to me that you and Stephen and Susan are always on the hunt for that next new trick, that next new thing, that next new appealing methodology of getting to the heart of the music. You got to keep abreast of the best.
I think it's just really, I think it's just instinctive. I think that when you're experienced, you look at some kids and you kind of know what they need.
Yeah, yeah. And Stephen, is there a big difference between working with boys and with girls? I mean, you know, I remember when our daughter was figuring out where to go to school, we were going to put her in a private school, which we did, and I talked to somebody, and we had the option of, you know, sending her to an all-girls school or a school that had boys and girls. And somebody said, a girl should go to school with girls, and boys should go to school with girls. and because boys and girls learn differently. But musically, what are the ramifications of that?
Well, for 8 years, I was a professor up at Notre Dame University on Charles Street, and I would go right from conducting all women's chorus to a men and boy choir, and it was always a very big shift in my thinking, and sometimes I would forget to shift from one to the other. There is definitely a shift, although there's a certain universality of, you know, teaching kids and teaching music. For boys, you absolutely, and girls too, certainly, but you have to keep it moving quickly. You can't spend 40 minutes on the same piece, and it's not that they're not capable of it, but just kind of engaging their brains. Also, boys' voices tire differently than girls' voices in certain ranges. So
how
change.
So? That's interesting.
Particularly that middle range. A boy has brilliance on their upper notes, but in that kind of lower to mid-range, they just don't have as much strength. And so they really have to give a lot more to sing there without belting.
Yeah.
And so just kind of switching the repertoire around in such a way that you pace your rehearsal, that it's very thoughtful. You don't just go from one similar piece to the next.
Yeah.
But definitely engaging their brains on a different level of moving quickly and new ideas.
And all of you certainly are the anti-belters. We don't want children pushing their voices and screaming, and, you know, although they hear a lot of that in the, you know, in popular culture and popular singing. I mean, you know, American Idol is all about belting. But you are very careful to teach them a technique that will enable them to sing without hurting themselves lifelong.
Exactly. Learning to have a timbre change and a tone change without necessarily pushing from an unhealthy place, and allowing boys to glory in their high notes, that they actually have this for such a fleeting time. It will be gone and never be back. And so to actually enjoy it and revel in that rather than push it away.
Yeah, like youth itself.
Exactly.
It is a fleeting thing. Well, let's listen to a little bit of your terrific work with the Maryland State Boy Choir. This is from a commercial CD that you released a couple years ago, I guess.
That's right.
This is a piece by the great Spanish Renaissance master Tomas Luis de Victoria. It's the Ave Maria, or Hail Mary. This is the Maryland State Boy Choir, conducted by their artistic director, one of my three guests this evening, Stephen Holmes. Music of Victoria here on Choral Arts Classics.
Oh,
music of the great Spanish Renaissance master Tomás Luis de Victoria, his setting of Ave Maria, or Hail Mary, featuring the Maryland State Boy Choir, conducted by their artistic director Stephen Holmes, who joins me in the studio tonight with our colleagues Doreen Falby of the Peabody Children's Chorus and Susan Bialek of the Children's Chorus of Maryland. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Choral Arts Classics on 88.1 WYPR. This is the final show in our 13th season, which we're devoting to a conductor's roundtable about children's choruses. So, Doreen Falby, one of your big challenges, I know because we've talked about this for years, is finding repertoire for kids, finding music that is going to be fun to sing, that will teach them something, and that will be make for a good concert for their parents and siblings to come and hear. How do you go about that very daunting task?
That is the most difficult part of my job, Tom, is finding really great music. You know, I want the kids to sing music that is going to be around in another 100 years. I want to shape their musical taste so they'll really appreciate something that's really beautiful and worth working toward. We've done quite a few collaborations with local composers, mostly Peabody composers, and to write new pieces for us, and we've loved that. But I'm always on the hunt. So I have to say the internet has helped with that a lot. You don't have to go to a music store and just look at the shelves anymore, but you can actually go online and find videos of other choirs or go to publisher sites and find things. I'm always looking for pieces that are fresh, that have wonderful texts, and really show the kids what a good melody is.
And sometimes it's music that people are writing now, you know, contemporary composers,
yes.
And sometimes it's music written, you know, back in the day. I mean, we just heard a piece that Stephen conducted with his group of Victoria from the Renaissance, but sometimes those pieces, even though they're old and in the canon, as it were, they have to be arranged to match the voice ranges and abilities of the children that you're working
sometimes,
with.
Sometimes, yes. Yeah, we just did the William Byrd Mass for Three Voices, which was originally written for men, so we had to bump it up a few keys so the kids could sing it.
Mm-hmm. Do you do a lot of arranging yourself?
I do. I spend a lot of time on my computer on my Finale writing program.
Yeah, Finale is the music software. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've got a concert coming up, a couple of concerts coming up this weekend, as a matter of fact. Saturday and Sunday, you'll be at the Church of the Redeemer on Saturday here in Baltimore, and then you'll be at the Miriam Freeberg Concert Hall over at Peabody on Sunday. Give us this is music of the songs of the British Isles. Give us a sample of what you'll be singing.
Yes, we're singing lots of Benjamin Britten, Eric Thiemann, and then arrangements of songs from Scotland, England, Ireland, and Wales, including a brand new arrangement of a Welsh song. I've been very impressed with the choir's ability to speak Welsh because not many people know how to do that, but they're doing a great job.
You're native Scotland. I mean, it's not too far away from Wales. Are you fluent in Welsh as well?
No.
Yeah. But you learn to be when you're in this gig, right?
I speak so many languages because I've learned the songs.
Right. And Stephen, how about you? Choosing music for boys' voices is also a challenge. You know, you got to get stuff that keeps them interested, but also, you know, has a pedagogical purpose too, right?
Right, very much. Just as Doreen said, finding the canonic pieces that should be around for another century and many more, as well as finding something new, cutting edge, but that's still good for their voices, not just doing what's on the radio. In fact, trying to push away from that and teaching students to have a higher aesthetic value, and then occasionally maybe throwing in something that might be familiar to their ears.
Now, talk about this notion of what's on the radio. I mean, this is obviously what the kids are hearing. The chances of them, you know, hopping in the car after rehearsal and, you know, hey, Mom, please slap in that Victoria CD on the way back. Pretty slim, right? But so do you find that they push back against doing so-called classical music?
Not at all. Actually, we find the kids ask for more and more. They would love to sing Renaissance motets and masses all day. And of course, I love that too, but that would get boring as well. And so we mix it up. There's actually been a revival in folk music, a little bit in pop music. And so you actually have melodies again sometimes and three-part harmony. It's a breath of fresh air, at least to me. And so that's actually a good movement in some of the pop music now. So.
Yeah. And are you also, like Doreen, making a lot of arrangements yourself?
Yeah, do a number of, a lot of rote arrangements particularly, too. We are very much emphasize the boys reading music, but so much of the world music that's from throughout the world is originally learned by rote. So we want to have the students have that experience. So we have a number of songs, Brazilian rugby songs, South African songs, some East Asian songs that really actually are better by rote. It leaves a little level for improvisation, and it teaches a different part of the brain, I think, to adapt.
And so to teach somebody a song by rote, you sing it and they sing it back.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And you could even then incorporate solfege with it. So you are still incorporating the musical element of reading music, but more by an oral tradition.
Right. And so we should say that solfege is that, you know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si,
right.
do, that
That's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did a bunch of concerts with Chanticleer several right. years ago. And Joe Jennings, the music director of Chanticleer, talked about how when they did, you know, composed music, music that either they had commissioned or music that existed in the regular repertoire, you know, everybody in Chanticleer is this world-renowned group of men singers, 12 of them. They could read that music without any trouble. But when Joe wanted to do spirituals or do music, you know, world music that wasn't part of the written tradition but rather part of an oral tradition, he taught the guys the music by rote, and they hated that.
Right.
They had a really tough time with that because they're trained musicians. They go to music school. We all did. You know, we got our little degrees, and by golly, we're going to use them. You know. So do the kids sort of react one way or the other when it's rote or when they're actually asked to read a score?
I find the kids enjoy both. I mean, I'd say we do about 90% reading from scores, and they enjoy that challenge. We kind of read scores in a way that the boys are, because we sing a very large repertoire and have over 100 concerts each year, we have a very large evolving repertoire. So they constantly are having to learn new pieces. Yeah. And so they like that challenge.
100 concerts. That's a lot of shows. And matter of fact, you've got some coming up at the end of this month on the 21st. You're going to have your annual boy choir festival. So this is not just your group, but you're going to have some other boy choirs.
About seven other boy choirs from throughout the country are coming in, working right. with guest conductor David White from Georgia. And they'll learn mass choir music. And it's at our facility in Mayfield, Northeast Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great event hearing 250 or 300 boys singing.
Yeah. And the kids from your group, of course, get to meet all the other
exactly.
kids who are singing
and
from
see,
groups
wow,
all
wow, there's so many other boys that are singing too.
Yeah, that's great. And Susan, you all just had a concert this last weekend. You've got another one coming up with the Handel Choir of Baltimore, our good friend Arian Caffey.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you'll be singing on that program. That's Saturday, I think.
Yeah. Yes, Saturday the 7th. Well, we're collaborating the concert choir, our advanced group, with his women on the Galuppi Dixit Dominus, which is a piece written for actually a girls' orphanage. But we're doing that together with his organist. And we're also going to be doing one set of the Holst choral hymns for the Rig Veda with harp. And then our concert choir will also collaborate with the entire Handel choirs, giving a couple of our boys a chance to sing tenor. They're so excited. For the Britain Today MNC.
Uh-huh. Great. So that's fun. And it's great for the kids to collaborate with an adult choir.
Absolutely. They had such a good time at one of the Handel Choir rehearsals. Arian seated them in between all of the adults, mm-hmm. and they just love the energy.
Yeah, that's great. And the music that you choose, of course, you know, the pedagogy part of your organization, very, very strong. Betty Berteau felt passionately
yes.
about the need for that. So you actually have the children come not just for rehearsals, but they come more than once a week.
They come twice a week. The beginners come once for choir and twice for class, and the other kids all twice for each.
Yeah.
But I think it's
it's a big commitment, isn't it?
It's a big commitment. But the choice of repertoire is based on those pedagogical things, but also on texts that speak to children and to people. And I think, as I'm sure you do too, we have children from such a wide range of family and educational and cultural backgrounds that the more we can choose things that give us a little bit of a glimpse into one another, I think the world just needs more of that.
Exactly, which is what music can do so well that oftentimes nothing else can. Great. Well, let's listen to some of the music of the Children's Chorus of Maryland. This is some music by the great English composer and our good buddy Bob Chilcott. He's a former member of the King Singers, and the Choral Arts has performed with Bob and the King Singers many times. He's now one of the most frequently performed composers in the world. Here is the Children's Chorus of Maryland, conducted by Susan Bialek, in an excerpt from Bob's Peace Mass. This is Gloria in Excelsis. Music of Bob Chilcott here on Choral Arts Classics. Thank you. Music of Bob Chilcott, an excerpt from his Peace Mass. This live performance of the Children's Chorus of Maryland was conducted by Susan Bialek. Patricia Amato accompanied the chorus on the piano. It's Choral Arts Classics on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall. Tonight, Susan Bialek, Stephen Holmes, and Doreen Falby join me for a conductor's roundtable about children's choruses. Doreen Falby is the founder and music director of the Peabody Children's Chorus. Stephen Holmes is the artistic director of the Maryland State Boy Choir, and Susan Bialek is the artistic director of the Children's Chorus of Maryland. So let's hear another selection from each of these terrific groups of young people. We'll start with the great hymn tune, Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal, sung by the Peabody Children's Chorus. That'll be followed by Baba Yetu, the Swahili version of the Christian prayer, Our Father, by Christopher Tin, in a performance by the Maryland State Boy Choir. And after that, a piece called Child with a Starry Crayon by the Canadian composer Eleanor Daly, sung by the Children's Chorus of Maryland. Three of our area's finest choruses for young people here on this Conductor's Roundtable edition of Choral Arts Classics. Music for Young Voices here on Choral Arts Classics. We heard the hymn tune, Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal, featuring the Peabody Children's Chorus, conducted by Doreen Falby. Baba Yetu, that's the Our Father, sung in Swahili by the Maryland State Boy Choir, conducted by Stephen Holmes. We heard Vincent Sandroni as the tenor soloist. Percussion was Benjamin Hawker, and Matthew Lane played piano. We also heard Child with a Starry Crayon by the Canadian composer Eleanor Daly in a performance by Susan Bialik and the Children's Chorus of Maryland, along with Patricia Amato playing the piano. Well, thank you all for those wonderful selections and for sharing your insights with us tonight. Susan, let's talk about the Children's Chorus of Maryland. If parents have children that are interested in joining, how do they go about doing that?
Well, our website address is www.ccmsings.org, and you can locate the button for auditions there, and the audition is just a very friendly choral interview one-on-one. And we can also get us by telephone, 410-494-1480.
All right, so Children's Chorus of Maryland, CCM Sings. And you hold the auditions in the beginning of the year, in the beginning of the school year, or when do you do those?
We do them pretty much between February and June. Mm-hmm. So there are a few dates listed online right now for coming up for later this month and in May.
Uh-huh, and then that would they would start in the
fall. In September.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Great. And Stephen, how about the Maryland State Boy Choir? How do folks
get involved? People can find us online, www.marylandstateboychoir.org. Or give us a call, 410-554-8644. And we're holding auditions in June. They're group auditions, open house for parents and their students to sit in together as a group, low-key, and would love to see some of the boys.
So they don't audition one-on-one. There are a bunch of them. You put them together.
Exactly, all together in a group.
Maybe they get a little more comfortable that
exactly,
way.
Exactly, very much. If a student decides that they'd rather their parents step out and the parent is okay, that's fine too, but all together as a group.
Your parents are never okay, are they? As a parent, you know, I know, we're just never okay. And Doreen, how about you for the children, or for the Peabody Children's Chorus, you hold auditions as well every year?
Yes, we hold auditions at the beginning of June for 2 weeks, and that's for fall entrance. And we have auditions for 6 to 17-year-olds, treble voices. We do them both in Towson and in Columbia. And it's each audition's about 5 minutes. We try to make it as friendly and encouraging as possible and try to bring the best out of every child that comes through the door.
And how do folks get in touch when they go online?
The website is peabody.jhu.edu/chorus.
All right, peabody.jhu.edu/chorus for the Peabody Children's Chorus. And, of course, we should say the auditions are a necessary evil in this. I mean, when parents or even children hear the word audition, they think, I'm too scared, you know. But you need to, I mean, Susan, you need to get to know these kids before you take them into the group, so make sure that they're going to be the right fit and for them and for you, right?
Right, and so they feel comfortable as well.
Yeah.
And I love to chat with them a little bit and see what they think about things and...
Sure, sure. And Doreen, do you listen for a particular thing when you're hearing a kid for the first time? What are you trying to figure out?
A healthy voice and a good sense of pitch.
Yeah, and Stephen, it would seem that the camaraderie of the Maryland State Boy Choir is as much a dimension of this enterprise as the singing part, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Although, of course, we want boys to be able to sing well, too. But the audition itself is very simple. Can you match pitch? Can you sit still for more than 3 seconds? We would love to have you. But yes, boys form great friendships that last for a lifetime, truly.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you all for coming by tonight. I really appreciate it. It's great to see you and break a leg with all your upcoming events. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Tom.
So thanks to Doreen Falby, Stephen Holmes, and Susan Bialik from their great children's choruses. And that will do it for this edition and this season of Choral Arts Classics. We'll be back with you in the fall. For information about the Choral Arts Society's upcoming concerts with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, come to our website, baltimorechoralarts.org. The women of the Choral Arts Chorus will be featured in The Planets by Gustav Holst in performances conducted by John Storgertz. Those concerts are May 20th and 22nd at the Meyerhof here in Baltimore and May 21st at the Strathmore Music Center in Bethesda. And then the following weekend, right before Memorial Day, the Choral Arts Chamber Chorus will perform J.S. Bach's towering masterpiece, the B Minor Mass, with conductor Nicholas McGagan and the BSO. Those performances are Thursday night, May 26th in Bethesda, and then Friday and Saturday nights, May 27th and 28th at the Meyerhof in Baltimore. So for information about concerts in the Choral Arts Society's upcoming season, come to baltimorechoralarts.org to see what we've got planned, including a premiere of a new work by Jonathan Leshnoff, as well as music by Brahms and Haydn. Also, When you visit baltimorechoralarts.org, you can order Choral Arts CDs, including Christmas at America's First Cathedral, as well as a recording with jazz legend Dave Brubeck. You can hear Choral Arts Classics on the radio or on demand. Go to WIPR.org and catch up on the shows you might have missed or shows that you'd like to hear again. The producer of Choral Arts Classics is my good friend Luke Spicknall. I hope you'll join me in the morning for Maryland Morning at 9 o'clock, right after Morning Edition here on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall for WIPR and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you in the morning for Maryland Morning. And in the fall, we'll be back with another season of Choral Arts Classics.